one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice.
Welcome to the One Mic, One Voice show, Building the Collective Conscience, a show that is created to give space where your voice, ideas, and informed opinions can be heard, appreciated, and debated. I'm Michael Eric Owens. And look, folks, I am in the studio, Black in Studio. I am here with Richard, and DT has the day off. Can you believe that? How can he have the day off? I don't, you know what, when you a star, a superstar like that, you can go ahead and say, look, I'm going to take the day off. But listen, folks, you are with me here in Black in Studios. We had a great show coming up. We have a studio guest, matter of fact, two studio guests that will be here today. So we're very excited about that. But this is a Sunday, and a very important Sunday, because we got some what's going on in our country now. In Oklahoma City today, later on this evening, I will be attending the Black Lives Matter rally in Oklahoma City. And all I'm going to say is keep the peace. We need to keep the peace. This is not about hurting anyone. We know what happened in Dallas. We'll be talking about that here in a minute. But, folks, the right to assemble and protest is steeped in our Constitution, and that is the right of all of us to come, voice our opinions, gather together for a cause, and feel free that you can exercise that right without repercussions. And so I am looking forward to going down there and being part of that particular historical moment. But, you know, we've had some crazy things happen. Crazy things happen. Well, should I say crazy things continuing to happen in our country today? You know about it. You've seen the videos. It is the videos are horrific. The aftermath of the anguish of these families, to see that, to hear that, to experience their pain is horrific. I mean, when you talk about what's going on with Alton Sterling, who was in Baton Rouge, and you know, I'm gonna say something to you, and because I'm gonna get to Dallas here in a minute, but let me start off by saying, first of all, that just because someone has an encounter with a police officer doesn't mean it ends in death. Now, I know there are countless people that will say there's thousands of encounters with law enforcement that does not end in death. Well, let me tell you something. There's a high probable cause that as a Black man in this country, that your encounter with the police will not turn out well for you. Those are the statistics. We can sit up here and argue all we want to. I'm not going to inundate you with statistics. I can. Hit me up on Facebook. I'll hit it. All you got to do is Google it. I mean, do some homework for yourself. All you got to do is Google it and understand. But listen to this. The Bahamas put out a travel advisory to people coming from the Bahamas to the United States. We are the ones that put out travel advisories, going to the Middle East, going to other places. Americans, be cautious. Don't go here. Don't go there. Folks, the Bahamas put out a travel advisory for Blacks coming into this country, telling them avoid large crowds, avoid protests. Why? Because the world sees that this is a enormous problem. It's an epidemic, folks. I don't care what anybody says. If you open up your eyes, look and see what's going on around us, it is a problem. People are coming out now. I'm happy to see the things that are going on with the response to. It's not just Black, it's white, it's Hispanic, it's Asian. People are coming out and saying this is wrong. We must do something about it, folks. Listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get into these two shootings. But then we're going to talk about why is there fear? Why does the fear exist? What is producing these encounters? Folks, listen, get your special mix. I'm just going to say that. We're sitting back here. We're relaxing, me and Richard. And listen, we will be right back.
What's up, guys? I am Leah Marie, owner of The Selfie Gods. Make sure you head over to our website, www.theselfiegods.com, and order your very own selfie moon. If you need that good lighting whenever you out in the club or you out hanging out with your friends and you need some more light for your selfies, that's definitely what you want to get, the selfie moon.
Hey guys, my name is Jeremy Burudi. I'm from Africa, in a country called Kenya, in a city of Mombasa. And Africa love the one mic, one voice broadcasting. Keep it locked. Love you guys. Cheers, I'm out.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. We just talked about Brother Sterling and what happened in Baton Rouge. The encounter with a police officer. You saw the video. You make up your mind for yourself. But Philando Castile, this 32-year-old black man, a cafeteria worker, giving back to the community. His mother said he was a gentle soul. This right here is ridiculous. Okay, first of all, where is the NRA when it comes to defending this man's right to have a concealed weapon? Okay, why can he not have a concealed weapon? Why can he not? I mean, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. It's legal. I mean, he went through the background check. He passed the background check. He gets pulled over, supposedly taillight out. Okay, all right, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many people have been pulled over for a taillight being out. That should be like a courtesy. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me, sir, ma'am, your taillight is out. Just wanted you to know that. Driver's license, registration, please. Oh, no, I don't. What? That should be a courtesy. That should not be, I'm going to search your car. Are we going to have a confrontation? Thank you, officer. I appreciate it. I will get it taken care of. Give me a warning. Send me on my way. No. This man, we saw the one in South Carolina where the young black man went into the car when the officer asked him for his license, insurance. And he said, I'm going in the car to get, and he was shot then. So if you want to tell me how can this happen? He told the officer, I have a concealed carry permit. I have a gun. And he shot dead. In front of your eyes, in front of my eyes. The problem is the lack of accountability. How many times from Michael Brown, we Eric Gardner. I mean, we can go on and on. Tamir Rice, how many times will these officers shoot and kill black men and be not held accountable? Accountability is everything, folks. It is every single thing. And let me tell you something about the Black Lives Matter movement, and then we're going to bring in our first guest. People on Facebook, and, you know, I'm going to have to spend some time we might have to do a separate show on some of the things that happened to me on Facebook. But anyway, this people are saying, well, all lives matter. Okay. Let me. And Ricky Smiley broke it down. He's a talk show host. If you don't know who he is, look him up. But he broke it down. And I give him all credit for this analogy. He talks about all houses matter. All houses matter. Nobody would say my house matter more than yours. All houses matter. On the block, every house matter. But the house that's on fire, I think that's where the fire department needs to go. How you gonna say to me, my house is on fire, but my house is not as important or more important at the present moment than your house? Okay, folks, America's on fire. Our streets are on fire. Our inner cities are on fire. We need to pay attention to the house that is on fire. Because believe it or not, you know, let the wind pick up, folks, and the fire spreads. We'll be right back.
My name is Kareem Muhammad, Executive Director of Teachers Appreciation Foundation. Join us Sunday, July 31st, 2016 at the Galardia Country Club in Oklahoma City for the Gala Fundraiser. For tickets, log on to TAF5.org. That's TAF5.org. Or you can email us at TAFteam5, that's the number 5, at gmail.com. Or you can give us a call at 405-532-3488. See you guys there.
This is Dr. Laura Gillott, and when I listen to podcasts, I always listen to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show, building the collective conscious. And you know, I'm so excited right now. We have a guest on that has connections to Oklahoma City, but actually lives in Phoenix, Arizona. And she's an entrepreneur. Matter of fact, she has her own art and clothing brand line. She also is a creator of 32 Fitness. So she's health conscious, and she's also socially conscious. And she's been, so accommodating to talk about her experiences, not only with social activism, but also as well as what she's doing right now in Phoenix and how that relates to the Black Lives Matter movement. And so I'm welcoming to the show Jamie Pettis. And Jamie, we're so happy to have you here. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you.
So talk a little bit about, I mean, obviously we hear so much about the Black Lives Matter movement being this movement that are only for Black people. And we know throughout history that whites have been engaged in fighting the causes of their Black brothers and sisters. And for that, I am truly grateful. But talk a little bit about the organization that you're with, as far as the social activism you're involved with, and how that relates to the Black Lives Matter movement and really why you got involved.
The latest two shootings with Philando Castile and Alton Sterling were, I think that that just was like a breaking point, I think, for a lot of people. And I've always done things like, you know, post things on Facebook or, you know, whatever to let it be known that, you know, I'm for a particular cause, socially, whatever it may be. But this time, you know, after those two shootings occurred, I just, something snapped and I decided I need to take some action. And I came across this group called Stand Up for Social Justice. And what it is a group predominantly of white people who come together, and anyone can join, but white people come together to, you know, basically stand up for social justice and see how they can be of service to movements such as Black Lives Matter. And I actually just joined it last week, so there's still a lot I'm learning. But they do have branches across the United States. And I believe I may have encouraged some people to start one in Oklahoma as well. Mm. So
wonderful. So and you, there was just a Black Lives Matter rally there the other day. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things. There's a Black Lives Matter Phoenix here and a Black Lives Matter Arizona. Mm. And there's some differences in the two. This, what we had technically the other night, I would like to call it a vigil. Mm. However, it was a march in response to, you know, the recent shootings, you know, all the shootings, you know, the police shootings, as well as the shootings of Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, and those that came before them. Mm-hmm. But we came together and joined that march, and it was peaceful for the most part. And we just walked around the city, walked to the police station, I believe attorney generals around downtown, and yeah, just made our presence known.
Great. What advice will you give to other ethnicities outside of the movement, those or really outside of this social justice issue, those that look like you, what would you say to them? That, you know, the ones that are on the sidelines or the ones that are even being critical, what would you say?
Well, I've come to the understanding, and I think a lot more people are these days, that because I'm white, I'm in a privileged position to stand up and say something and hopefully have an influence on other white people, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, this is personal for me too. I have longtime friends who this affects. I have blood that this affects, family. And I think that it's my responsibility, to be a part of this and to do something. It's, you know, I hear people say things like, well, I have black friends, you know, I'm for the movement. I'm not racist, this and that.
Right.
But don't really take action. To just be friends with someone who is black,
mm-hmm.
Is not enough.
Yes.
And I know and understand that I'm in a position to take action. Mm. You know, I effortlessly sit and listen and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like to be raised black in America.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask extensive questions. I empathize. I listen to my friends who are hurting and my family who's hurting. Ask what I can do to help.
Well,
Go ahead, Jamie. You know, another thing too, I think about, there's a lot of, and this is a little more specific. The question was, you asked me how I could get involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some other technical things. We can write our elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Ask how maybe you can donate to certain causes.
Mm-hmm.
Need financial help. Speak up. If you hear someone saying something that's, you know, basically not right,
mm-hmm.
a prejudice, whatever, speak up. We can all contribute in different ways. And again, you don't have to march. It could be something as simple as just speaking up. That could go a long way. I know that just by being a voice to people around me that I hear say things that, whether they know it or not, that are prejudiced or racist or, you know, not right, I will say something.
Yes.
And also another thing, that basically there's different ways to get involved, and those are some of them. And ask questions to your friends that are going through these things. Also, I think about this White Lives Matter versus the Black Lives Matter thing.
Yeah. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a lot of people are you know, naturally well-intentioned when they say all lives matter. I get that. They do. And in the bigger picture, like, we're all human beings and we all matter. But the thing is with that is whether people realize it or not, they're actually blanketing the purpose of Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you're white and you're saying all lives matter, you may or may not understand that you're actually doing the black community a disservice,
mm-hmm.
in that black people are treated oftentimes differently,
mm-hmm.
by some policemen,
mm-hmm.
for example. And it's not all policemen, it's some policemen. And the percentages are high, in terms of deaths and whatnot. And it's a fact that black people, specifically in, you know, cases of police brutality, are treated different.
Mm-hmm.
They're dying.
Yeah.
And so if I say all lives matter in place of that, I'm avoiding the issue at hand,
mm-hmm.
which is that black people are treated differently.
Yeah.
And it has to be addressed. If we just walk around saying all lives matter, then we've done a disservice to my black friends, my friends of color. You know.
Yeah. You brought out some very powerful points, and the fact that you talked about empathy, the fact that you talked about having relationships with black folks, engaging, interchanging with black folks, understanding the condition. As you said, I don't know what it means to be black, but I listen. I ask questions. I mean, it's interesting, you know, when you say all lives matter, as it is as if saying black lives matter devalues the lives of others. And nobody would argue that all lives doesn't matter. That's never the issue here. The very fact that you have to bring attention to the atrocities by saying black lives matter should cause people to say, okay, so why is that? What is the reason why we have to have such a movement in America? And so I applaud you, but you are, Jamie, you are walking in a tradition that has always been in America, from Charles Sumner to the abolitionists to those that marched with Dr. King to, I mean, white folks died, okay, for the civil rights of black people. And so the freedom riders, many of them were white people. And so the idea that white people are not part of the struggle for equality in this country, it's just untrue. We have always been linked arm in arm, but it happens to be in the modern era, in this divisive society that we live in, that sort of narrative, that sort of history has been wiped away. And people don't understand. It's about black lives is really about all lives coming up to the same level of respectability, of being valued in this country. And I applaud you for getting involved. And I know you said you've been socially conscious and you're getting deeper involved. But I applaud you for your courage, because that's what it takes.
Thank you. Whatever I can do to help. And you're right that Black Lives Matter is not exclusive. I think, you know, some people take that word black and it's like they hear it and like, oh God, you're trying to separate us, or you're trying to hate us. Mm. When I was at the march the other night, and I knew this beforehand, there were all kinds of people involved. People want to help. Mm. You know, the Black Lives Matter movement is against brutality against anyone.
Yes.
It's not about hating cops. It's not about hating white people. It's not about separating themselves.
Well, so what's on the agenda? Give us a little kind of snapshot of Arizona and the climate there. Is it pretty much resembles the climate of the rest of the United States, or do you see some differences there? What do you see that's happening in Arizona?
Well, the climate doesn't feel good right now. It's over 100 degrees. That's the temperature.
Right.
You know, there's I was really impressed with the turnout. I think I would have to go look, but I believe we had probably several thousand people turn out.
Wow.
For the vigil the other night. And that made me very happy, because, you know, a couple of things. There's a much smaller black population in Arizona. Mm. It's, you know, there's more white and Hispanic here.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw the other night, like I said, besides being socially conscious, it's only been recently that I've actively delved into action with the movement. From what I saw the other night, people want to help. People came together, and people of all races are outraged. Mm. And it was really cool to see. Yeah. You know, I think if anything is tragic and awful as all of the shootings that have happened is, I think that I see a positiveness in that people are fed up and they do want to do something. And I think oftentimes, you know, especially with white people, they want to help. Like, I just don't think that they know how.
Okay. Okay.
So, but okay. I saw a great turnout of all races at the march, and it was a very positive feeling and hopeful.
Yeah.
So you got to start somewhere, And
well, you know, I want to thank you. And matter of fact, you've given me an idea for a show. I mean, we really need to, because I believe there are our white brothers and sisters out there that want to help and they don't know how. And I think this would be a great platform to kind of lay out some of those principles on how they can get engaged, how they can get involved, because everyone doesn't have to march. Ralph Ellison, you know, one of my literary heroes. He was criticized for not, you know, locking arms and marching, but he used the pen and paper to articulate his desire for equality and for the rights of the least among us. And so everybody has a role, and we have to learn what that role is and flow within that. But, you know, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on the One Mic, One Voice show and sharing your experience and sharing your passion and really giving a call to our listeners to get involved in your courage and your strength. We will pull from that, because today, of course, we have the Black Lives Matter movement. I've been hearing about the opposition that's coming out there. And truly, we just want to have peaceful protests and to unite in some way that makes our country better. So again, thank you so much. We appreciate you. And we want to have you come back on, probably when we talk about ways in which, you know, our white brothers and sisters can get involved.
I would love to.
Absolutely.
And thank you for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I will be. Wow. You know, hey, Jamie, thank you so much. We appreciate you and your passion, your commitment. And folks, I don't know what else I have to say. Me and Richard were just sitting up here just listening to this, you know, entrepreneur, this passionate lady that gets it, that understands it, and spoke to us in ways that I think hopefully we can replicate as we speak to those that we encounter each and every day. Thank you, Jamie. We look forward to having her back on the show. And folks, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back.
Hi, this is Tiffany Hill, host of Authentic Conversations, a weekly motivational podcast where we discuss matters such as self-worth, relationships, parenting, professional development, physical, emotional, and spiritual health. You can find me on Facebook at Authentic Conversations by Tiffany Hill, on social media at @th_authentic, and you can also subscribe to Authentic Conversations on iTunes and Podbeans, and the show is also available on blackandstudios.com. I look forward to connecting with you, and remember, to live authentically is the ultimate form of happiness.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. That was a great interview, a great guest. I mean, when we talk about what can be done, or even the motivation for getting involved, Jamie answered all those questions, really, to be honest with you. It's not just a black problem. It's an American problem. And if I can just sum up, you know, her whole conversation is there is room at the table of solutions for all of us. And, you know, I am. And we're going to go a little deeper into what is happening in our country. But in the studio with us is Brother Kareem Muhammad. Y'all know him. He's been here multiple times, Teacher Appreciation Foundation, doing great things in Oklahoma City and beyond. And so, you know, we just want to, again, welcome you, brother, to the One Mic, One Voice show. How you doing today?
Thank you for having me, Brother Michael. I'm doing phenomenal.
And see, what he don't understand is he co-hosted now. See, he
absolutely
he came here to talk about the gala that's coming up and the things that are happening in the foundation, and we definitely want to do that, brother. But I have put you in the co-host. Then DT took the day off, and what I will say is DT called in, man, want to check and see if I'm working.
Wow,
I'm like how you gonna take the day off and call in and see if I'm working? I just want to make sure you're doing what you need to be doing.
Tell DT, you know, that's all love. That's all fam. Oh, man. I got him covered.
You got him covered, man. So yeah. Thank you so much for being here. And I want to talk, I want to address, first of all, kind of what happened in Dallas and the, you know, the peaceful protests that that started out. I mean, it was peaceful.
Right.
There was nothing out of the ordinary. You know, the idea of peaceful protests is steeply rooted in the Constitution.
Yes.
And this idea of assembly is a right for all Americans. So let me say this. The so-called brother that decided to use violence to express his hatred is appalling to me.
Right.
Okay. I cannot condone that. I condemn that. Okay. But let me say this though, brother, and maybe you can speak to this. This black man don't speak for all black people.
No, he doesn't. And when I heard the news, when I seen it, unfortunately, innocent people getting killed for any reason is completely asinine, is insane.
Absolutely.
Killing those innocent. And I know police officers personally. I grew up with police officers. With the fraternity that I'm a part of, I'm a, you know, friend accepted Mason. There's plenty of police officers, good police officers that I know personally that does not condone anything that the gentleman did in Dallas or even the gentleman in Minnesota and the other gentleman.
In Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's ungodly acts, unfortunately. And one thing that we have to do, we don't need to do, we have to do, is even the Black Lives Movement and things of that nature. We have to get involved and take action before things like that even happen.
Yeah.
We have to have a presence and an influence on the community so when unfortunate things like that happen, you know, people like the gentleman that killed those police officers, he probably would have already had a voice of people to console the situation.
Yeah. He could have, or he could just be a crazy man. I mean, there are crazy people in every race. We know that, brother, and I know you would agree with that.
Right.
But giving voice, being proactive is what you're talking about. And we don't do that. We are reactive. We always want to come after the fact and say, you know, this is a tragedy, this and that. But what do we do beforehand to prevent these things from happening? And what I will say, I'm glad you brought up good police officers, because I know I have friends that are police officers. I know some of them are Hispanic, some of them are black, some of them are white. I get that. But this is my problem. And I'm going to say it. This is my problem. They are silent.
Yeah.
Now let me say this. This is a bad rap for police officers. This is what they don't get. These fools out here that are using the badge to wreak havoc on black men and women and white folks are representing you. Yeah. Just like we get upset for somebody that does something crazy that represents us.
Right.
They need to stand up just like we are standing up today, brother, and saying this lunatic in Dallas does not represent us. They need to stand up and say as a group, and say, you know what? What happened in Baton Rouge? What happened? What happened in Minnesota? What happened in wherever does not represent us, and we appalled by it. We stand against it because that's not the way we police communities.
Absolutely, and I feel that the powers that be need to do more thorough, intricate background checks on these officers. Or institutions that can see, okay, was this guy bullied? Was she bullied? Why is so much anger in these officers? Why is they trigger it so quick to pull out their guns and shoot a guy just for reaching for his registration?
Exactly. No. You're exactly right. The training, the screening of officers, I think that's why I have called. Let me back up here for a minute. First of all, I'm calling on the officers that are doing the right thing to start to stand up and speak out and be leaders in this movement for change in the police culture. Yes. We cannot do it without them. They're doing a great job. They're treating people fairly. They're doing what's right. They should have that badge on. Stop remaining silent. Now, I get this. I get the pressure. Right. It's a fraternity. I get that. However, have the courage to stand up. Think about those that have come forward that have paid the ultimate price for their beliefs. You can do that. Now, furthermore, brother, I'm calling on entertainers, athletes. Yes. You see what Carmelo Anthony is just doing now.
Yes.
I mean, he took out a whole page in the New York Post calling for athletes to get involved in this movement.
It's funny you say that, Brother Michael. I was speaking to a friend of mine. I told her, you know, every Joe Blow, so to speak, has a hero. Mm. That hero can be that athlete, that actor, that public figure, that pastor, somebody that you look up to.
Yeah.
It takes them stepping out the realm.
Yeah.
Even Kevin Durant, when he, you know, moved to Oakland. It takes people powerful like that to say, okay, this is what we need to do. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Like Carmelo did.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple.
I'm telling you, let the NBA say we're not going to play a game until we have federal guidelines for policing and communities and see what happens.
See what happens. All it takes is 30 days. let them jokers sit down for 30 days.
Exactly. And see what happens. It's done. Let Jordan speak out.
Yeah.
It's done. I'm calling on athletes and entertainers to stand up and bring change to this country. I'm tired of folks like Jesse Williams sitting up speaking truth and being criticized for speaking truth. Brother Jesse, you are not alone. What needs to happen is your fellow actors and actresses need to stand up in solidarity with you. I mean, Beyonce just came out at her concert, I believe it was in Glasgow. Right. She just came out for a moment of silence for Anton and also for Brother Philando. Came out with a moment of silence for them so that the world is watching us.
Yes.
The world is watching us. As I said earlier, brother, in this show, the Bahamas has issued a travel advisory for blacks coming to the U.S.
Wow.
Telling them to be cautious. Don't go into crowds. Don't be involved in protests.
Yeah.
Be careful. Comply with the police.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like it's this sense of, and I hate to say it like this, but I've seen where it would be a typical thug walking down the street.
Yeah.
Where we have to worry about him or her doing something against the laws as far as robbing somebody, nothing like that. It just seemed like it's a cohesiveness amongst the so-called typical thug now, because they like, man, the police is gunning us down. We need to stick together now.
You know, it
kind of parallels what the people in Bahamas is saying, you know, giving a SOS or a red alert. You know, it's time for us to stick together, because, I mean, it's beyond ridiculous.
It's crazy. Yeah. It is crazy. Do you know right now, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but do you know right now there's two bills in Congress that have been sitting there since last year, 2015?
Right.
There's the H.R. 2875, folks, H.R. 2875, a Law Enforcement Trust and Integrity Act of 2015. And it's been introduced, but it just hasn't went anywhere. And this bill, I mean, you can look it up. I'm not going to go into great details, but you can look it up. It's basically saying that we're going to have federal regulations, okay, that we're going to police the same across, you know, it's not going to be different in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. As it is in Wisconsin, okay? We're going to make sure. And also, we're going to have more oversight. And you're going to report, you know, the demographics of who you're pulling over. I mean, the Ferguson effect, when folks were used for revenue and for profit, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That bill, H.R. 2875, look it up, folks. Call your congressman. Tell them you want that bill to move forward. And then also, H.R. 1933, this In Racial Profile Act, which has been introduced since like 2008.
What's the deal with that? 2008.
I'm thinking, so why is it so difficult? Okay, it's been introduced, but it hasn't went anywhere, folks. And again, if you don't think racial profiling is happening in the country, then listen, don't even listen to our show. Turn it off. Move on. I mean, because it's not the show for you. It's a reality. I had a brother on. Hold on, man. I got to say this. And I'm not going to call him out because I don't do that.
Right.
But I had a brother that tell me he'd never been racial profiled. Never. Never. And I said, okay. I said, well, I'm happy for your experiences.
Right.
I mean, truly I am. I mean, I applaud the fact that you have always been treated well by cops. Okay. News flash. Thousands of other people have different experience.
Yeah.
And I asked the brother, don't devalue that because of your experience. I don't know where you grew up at. I don't know where you've been. But I can tell you, racial profiling for me, I can't even tell you how many times I've been racial profiled. Oh, okay? I mean, I don't want, and it's not like I sit around and say, you know what, man, today, man, Brother Kareem, today, man, I want to be racial profiled, man. I mean, I just really want to. I mean, the reality is, man, it's disturbing, right?
It's beyond ridiculous. And, you know, when I heard that the gentleman that got killed in Minnesota, he got stopped because of the size of his nose.
Mm.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
Craig went from a busted tailpipe to him having he was identified as a suspect, and the police officer told the other guy, well, look for a big nose. Yeah.
Lord.
So, I mean, anything.
Our nose are big, though, I'm being honest.
Yeah, yeah. And
black
I'm,
folks,
I'm
right?
proud. I'm proud.
Proud of my large nose. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Brother, no. Man, come on. I mean, it's ridiculous out here, man.
And the gentleman in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Both of them had guns on them, but both of them was licensed
to kill.
Have those guns. Both guys.
I mean, and what does it say? Just because, now get this. If you pull me over, even if I'm licensed to have a gun, doesn't mean you kill me.
Right.
I mean, even if I'm not licensed to have a gun and I have a gun in my pocket, there is what we call due process. You don't kill me. Now, let me tell you, if you are a police officer and you have trouble and two police officers have trouble subduing one individual, take off the uniform.
Take that uniform off.
Take the uniform off. Because, you know, I know some cops and they some bad boys.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They don't need backup. Okay. Right. I done seen them operate. They some tough dudes. If you that afraid, the problem is that what I've come to understand is that we are afraid, cops are afraid.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of? I ain't here to hurt you. All I want to do is get from point A to point B.
Point B.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
If you pull me over, talk to me with some respect. I want to give you respect. Okay. You're a police officer. I want to respect you. But don't disrespect me.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I'm a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let you walk on my dignity. And if I go out like that, so be it. But I'm going to go out in a way that I want to go out. Because you know what? You're not going to disrespect me.
Right. Right.
You're not going to disrespect me. Folks, we're going to have to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to transition. But, man, I'm loving that you're here. I appreciate you, brother.
Hey,
we will be right back.
This is Elijah Bailey.
This is Richard Taplin.
From the Elijah Bailey Show, bringing you all the content that you could ever desire about anime, manga, comic books, martial arts, fitness, and more.
You can find us at Elijah Bailey Show on the official Facebook page and also Elijah Bailey Show without the W on Twitter and Instagram.
Make sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and rate on iTunes and Podbean.
This is Dr. Laura Gelat, and when I listen to podcasts, I always listen to the One Mic, One Voice show.
Welcome back to the One Mic, One Voice show. Considering the circumstances, man, I'm having a great time, man, especially a great time sitting right here next to my brother, Brother Kareem Muhammad, and we're going to get to why he was here. See, you can't always, you never know what we got you putting in work today.
Hey, That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
Hey, listen, I know you're capable, man. But, you know, I saw this contrast between, you know, when Dylann Roof was arrested. Mm-hmm. Number one, they took him alive. And then they took him to get something to eat.
Took him to Burger King. He's like, hey, what's your favorite restaurant? Yeah.
Well, hold on, man. How can Brother Anton, okay, and Philando, how can they not be arrested and taken to jail? How did this man kill black folks in a church?
Right.
And then we're going to take him to get something to eat because he's hungry. Yeah. But yet still, a black man is dead. It doesn't correlate to me. It's not right. Doesn't look right. It's wrong.
I mean, it's a complete night and day difference. I mean, this young guy, he went in that church and slaughtered.
Yeah,
he did
right.
a massacre.
Yeah.
Killing.
You're right.
Of 9 innocent African Americans.
Yeah.
And then they took him to Burger King.
Burger King.
You know?
I wonder what he had.
Yeah.
Well, give me onion rings and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't want french fries.
I want two words.
I mean, we have to laugh because if not, we cry, right?
I mean, you know, you sometimes have to be a little facetious.
Yes.
On topics like that, man, because, you know, without being facetious, man, people snap.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Know, like, how dare you, you know, treat him any different?
Yeah.
These guys was out there, had license for their pistols.
Yeah.
This gentleman, and when they interviewed the owner of the store, he's like, that man was my best friend. They got the wrong guy.
Yeah, they did. They did. They said he sold CDs out there. You know, he got his hustle on. We know that. That happens in the black community, and there's nothing wrong with that entrepreneurship. And like you say, they got the wrong guy.
Got the wrong guy.
And killed the wrong. Let me say this, though. This is what troubles me. If an officer approaches you, okay, and feels like he or she has to subdue you and starts to cut off your ventilation, your circulation, your breathing, what does the body naturally do?
Right.
Resist.
It's going to resist.
It is called, you are in survival mode.
Right.
And so what happens is, the officer said, well, you resisting arrest. Well, I can't breathe, Michael Brown, right?
And what gets to me, you're absolutely right. When those officers go into training, like I said, I know quite a few personally, they are taught pressure points on the body.
Mm.
It don't matter how big or how small.
Yeah.
They touch that pressure point, your body is gonna drop.
Yeah.
It's going to react.
Yeah.
And therefore enabling that officer, if he feel any threat, it enables that officer to restrain that threat.
That ain't working.
And it ain't working.
No. They ain't hitting the pressure points.
Because these guys is scared. I hate to say this. Some of them are cowards.
Yes.
And they was bullied in school.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we ever begin to look in the history of those in the force, I think we will see some of that, calling on good cops to stand up, calling on, as we had in this program, Jamie Pettis, calling on white people to get involved. We're going to do a show on that, on how our white brothers and sisters can get involved, athletes and entertainers, because, folks, there is a vulnerability on both sides of the aisle. We are vulnerable. Cops are vulnerable. Listen, as we said before, Brother Kareem, stop letting these psycho cops speak for the majority of good cops.
Right.
Stand up, make a difference. You know, we need to. We need you to stand up. And you know what's ironic? Let me say this, and I'm just going to put this out there. And I might make some people upset. Now, I've done that this past week, by the way, brother. If you've been looking at my Facebook.
I have.
Okay.
You lost a few friends. It comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory, hey, brother. But let me say this. If you notice, Dylann Roof killed those 9 people.
Right.
The family forgave. What have we heard? And again, what happened in Dallas was a tragedy. Those officers should never have lost their life. I hate the loss of any life.
Yeah.
Have their families forgiven. I'm not saying they should.
Right.
You take one of mine. I'm not saying I'm capable of forgiving. But I'm saying is we see the contrast of compassion versus, I would say, a stereotypical way of looking at black people. He deserved what he got. They used a bomb to blow him up.
Yeah. Strap the bomb on that.
I mean, what happened to talking a man out of a situation?
Yeah.
Hostage negotiation or, you know, he didn't have a hostage, but how about talking him out of putting his gun down or whatever? They sent a robot in there and bombed the man and killed the man.
Blew him up.
Mm. Well, I don't like the loss of life on any end. I'm not one of these guys to say this guy deserved it, this, that, and the other thing. What he did was horrific, but we have a process of law. Right. And if we can go in and send a bomb into a home or send a bomb into a garage or send a bomb into a building, whatever, and just blow people up, is that justice? Well, some people might say, yeah, it is justice. I don't know. He didn't have an opportunity to speak. Some people say he said he wanted to kill white people. I don't know. That's why we have a trial
right.
in America. That's why we have a justice system. I don't know. I have never heard of a white man, and there's plenty of them, that could have been with a robot blown up.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead I'm just saying.
Instead of, you know, taking a good trip to Burger King, you know.
Just send in the robot.
These gentlemen, you know, they get apprehended.
It's a double standard, brother. That's what I'm saying. So we're going to transition, man. We've have a heavy show. You know, we've talked about things that are going on. I mean, when DT comes back, we want to go in and kind of recap. You know, as historians, we say it's too early to tell. So we'll have a little bit more distance from what has transpired in our country and so forth. But let's talk a little bit about what you have coming up, brother.
Okay, well, once again, Teachers Appreciation Foundation. Sunday, July 31st, this month, we have our annual gala fundraiser. Mm. And what we do, we're raising funds to enable the movement of Teachers Appreciation Foundation to give school stipends to schools in the Oklahoma City area, in the Tulsa area. We're raising money for field trips. I know they're trying to do away with field trips because of budget cuts. Mm. We're trying to keep that implemented in the curriculums of the school systems. You know, we want to give certain spa treatments, like spa days,
okay,
to educators. You know, we're thinking outside the box with the monies that's raised. Ultimately, the brand of TAF.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to be known as having the annual award show. We want to parallel it to the Grammys. I know I say that each and every time I'm on your show.
Yeah.
But we want to get it big enough to where the school teachers and custodians and school bus drivers, everyone is getting recognized.
Okay.
Getting known at this award show.
Well, you know, I, again, I'm a fan, seriously.
Thank you.
Of what you do and what you've been doing, man. I had the honor. The true honor, man, of being the MC for one of your galas. And I just, it was a thrill for me to be there with you. And the way that you reached out and just appreciate it. I mean, we forget, man, people work hard, man.
Yeah, they do.
And to say thank you and to recognize them, that's huge, man. I think within the human condition, to say we thank you, we appreciate you. So, man, I just applaud what you do. Looking forward to the gala. One Mic, One Voice will be doing what?
Oh, yeah. One Mic, One Voice will be in the building. podcast radio.
Yeah, we're going
to
be live.
And I want to say this to everyone that's tuning in. Please join us. It takes more than just clicking like on Facebook.
Mm.
Okay, we need your physical support.
Yeah,
I know people jump on things when it's controversial, when somebody's done wrong, but this is something that's stirred to absolute justice for our educators, for the budget cuts. There's no excuse for it.
Yeah.
So please join us Sunday, July 31st at Gilardia Country Club. Anybody that's looking at this, you know how you can contact me. We encourage everybody to go to our website, TAF5.org. That's TAF5.org. You can also go to our Facebook page, Teachers Appreciation Foundation.
Man, I I'm looking forward to the event. And
I'm excited.
Because I know you. What you wearing, man?
Oh, man. I'm
just let me in, because you shocked me the last. You know, I thought I was looking good, man. Then when I saw you, I'm like, man, I wanted to go back home and buy something different.
I will be shopping in Brother Owen's closet.
I mean, man, you look good, man.
Thank you.
You look smooth every time I see you. So
appreciate that.
We looking forward to it, man. Me, DT, and Richard to being there that night, and giving you all the attention and the media presence that your organization needs to have. And folks, I want to say this: if you can't come, donate.
Right.
I don't care if it's $5, $10, $100, $1,000. Whatever you can do, donate. We need to give back. There's just an article, man. I don't know if you saw this, a post on K4 about how teachers are leaving.
Yeah.
They're leaving the industry.
Yeah, and my mom, who's a retired school teacher, she taught for well over 30 years. A lot of her colleagues and friends saying that they have to leave. A lot of the people that's just beginning, they may have 5 years in the industry, or – you know, 3 years or four years, they're just not able to maintain.
Yeah. I mean, we cannot let our teachers leave.
No.
We cannot let our cafeteria people leave. We cannot let our bus drivers leave. We have to appreciate them. We have to appreciate them. Our custodians, we have to appreciate them. Folks, give to this organization. Yeah. That is my plea to you. And, man, it's going to be a terrific, terrific event. But hold on, man. Let me transition, man. You've been all over the place.
Trying.
Hold on, man. I see you was on the Mayor's Magazine.
Yeah. That was a fun gig for me. The mayor reached out to me, which it was a surreal experience.
Well, you know, Mayor's a good friend of mine.
Okay.
I've been on the Mayor Magazine a couple times, so I know it's a classy scene.
Yeah, it is. The mayor's, I mean, real down to earth gentleman.
Yes, he is.
Real down to earth.
Yes, he is.
He did give me accolades and praised, the movement of TAF. And come to find out, his mom was also a school teacher.
Okay.
Which is a phenomenal thing, and she taught the same grade my mom taught.
Okay.
So I kind of, I was a little funny with him. I said, "Well, Mayor, we brothers. Right. We might be brothers, long lost brothers."
Right. He's a cool cat, man. I really like him, and I think he's genuine.
Yeah.
About his love for community, and to see when I saw that you were on there, man, I was like, "That's the perfect place for you to be as well." Did you meet Steve Hill?
I did.
Yeah,
I talked to Steve to this day. Steve. Inboxes me, he emails me, he's a fun guy.
Yeah, Steve is.
I really like Steve. Yeah.
And Steve is a dynamic artist.
Yeah.
You know, people don't know that about him, man. Steve is a deep brother, man, and I want to have him sometime on the One Mic, One Voice show. Matter of fact, we're talking about Steve Hill. He's a mayor's chief of staff is what Steve's title is. But and me and him actually sit on the Oklahoma Arts Commission together. But he's a real serious dude. But you like everywhere, man. I'm like, every time I look up, man, I see Brother Kareem. I mean, you on Fox, you on nine.
They had me on Fox 25. That was a great experience as well. Yesterday I had the opportunity to go speak with the Hispanic community.
Okay.
On the radio, and they want me to go on the Telemundo.
Oh, man.
TV broadcast.
Okay.
So that's going to be exciting.
They'll have an interpreter for you, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Because, I don't know if you can learn Spanish that quick.
Because it is
a complicated language. So I don't know. Rosetta Stone might help you, but I don't know if you're going to be able to do it in a week. But
they showed us nothing but love.
Yeah.
So it's going to be exciting. They will be at the gala as well.
Okay, wonderful, man. I applaud what you're doing. Please give out the information one more time, the event, where they can contact you at, and so forth.
The event is Sunday, July 31st. It's starting at 5:30 p.m. We have a silent auction. It's going to start at 5:30 p.m. The actual gala banquet is 7 p.m. At the Galardia Country Club. Please visit our website, TAF5.org. That is TAF5.org. Please go to our Facebook page. Like our Facebook page, Teachers Appreciation Foundation. And One Mic, One Voice, Black in Studios will be in the building.
Will be in the building, folks. You'll be able to see us, see our faces, see who we are. And yeah. And we will be looking sharp because we know the type of event you put on. And I just want to just thank you for coming on. You know, it's always a pleasure. You know,
you
always have an open door to the One Mic, One Voice show. And I also want to thank Jamie Pettis for coming on. You know, she spoke to us from Phoenix, Arizona. And again, if you want to get in contact with Jamie, which I really encourage you to do, she's an entrepreneur. I mean, she has her own art and apparel brand. She's a fitness. She has her own fitness company. I mean, Jamie ain't no joke. Instagram her at Jamie L. Pettis. That's JAMIELPETTIS. And you can also hit her up on Twitter at Jamie L. Pettis Art. That's at JAMIELPETTISART. Jamie would love to hear from you. I mean, we have some dynamic folks on our show. And so we just appreciate, again, you being here. Minus DT. Mm-hmm. I miss my brother always. You did an excellent job of co-hosting the last half of the show. Because, man, every time we sit down at this beautiful table that Richard has done, I mean, he did this, bro. Look at this, man. This looked like we would have paid. I mean, beautiful table, man. Every time we sit down. How you like the studio, though, before we go out?
This is phenomenal. I mean, y'all hit a grand slam.
Is the studio nice?
Yes.
Man, this is all Richard, man. And, you know, we just came in here and cut the mic on and went to work. So he did a phenomenal job, man, because we realized that history will speak of us. Yeah. Somewhere in the distant future, a scribe will reach down deep into the archives of our time. And what will she find? Will she discover that we overcame our differences? Will she find that out of many, we became one? Or will she find that we saw nothing and remain a divided people? Yes, history will speak of us.
We can make a difference if we try. We can be the change that's in our lives. All we gotta do is work together. We gotta raise our children better. We gotta stop the hate, and spread the love.
One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice. One mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
One mic.
You can change the world, it's your choice.
One
mic, one voice. You can change the world, it's your choice.
Your choice.
Today's broadcast is being brought to you by Black in Studios. To learn more about Black in Studios, please visit them at blackinstudios.com or visit them on their Facebook page, Black in Studios. Today's broadcast is also being brought to you by Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. To learn more about Perry Publishing and Broadcasting, please visit their website at perrypublishingandbroadcasting.net. The opinions of the One Mic, One Voice show do not reflect the views of Black in Studios or Perry Publishing and Broadcasting. Thank you for downloading the One Mic, One Voice show.